So Jesus getting closer and closer to Nicodemus, if you notice that. And it came to a point where he was staring him face to face and was just so patient and kind and loving to him, just like he is with all of us. And as I looked into the story further, you know, I began to see some things that I want to express today. And as we go through John 3, verses 1 through 21, we can see the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, working here with this man, trying to teach him. There's only three passages in Scripture, and they're all in John, that deal with this man, Nicodemus. And I kind of looked at his life, and I saw a lot of my own life there in him. You know, having the questions, you know, having one foot in and one foot out, wanting to believe Jesus, but yet, you know, the world is pulling you a different way. You know, having all this stuff in your head, which you think you know about God, and then someone comes and turns your world upside down, like Jesus did to Nicodemus. But he did it in love. And that's how Jesus works in our life. He comes to us where we are. Doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't matter what's in our head at the moment. Doesn't matter what we think we know. Jesus comes to us. You know, we always think we're going to him, but he's really coming to us. He's the one that does the calling. He's the one that prepares the heart. And this day of Pentecost is a day that shows us that God comes to us. He sent forth his Spirit upon all flesh, it says. So if you believe in Jesus, you have that Spirit working in you. You have that Spirit. There's no condemnation, as was said in the video, in your life. None. None. You're free. You're free from sin, from death. You have a new life now. It's not just the old life made a little better or even a lot better. It's new. You are brand new. Maybe you don't feel new. Maybe you're getting up there in age and, you know, you're not getting around as much, you know. Recently, we were on vacation, and I was reminded how out of shape I am. Went on a few excursions walking around, and didn't take too long. My legs were hurting. My feet were hurting. And, you know, I just was happy. When we came to the end, I was getting a little happy. Okay, you know, this is ending. I'm getting a little tired here, you know. But, you know, God is sending forth his Spirit. And it's a regenerating Spirit, a recreating Spirit. It's not just, you know, taking something old and refashioning it and making it new in that sense. It says we're a new creation. The old man is dead, passed away. So let's go through John and you can follow along in your Bible if you'd like. I'm using, I think, the New International Version. Sometimes it's a little hard for me to follow along, so I just listen. That's okay, you know. Feel free to do whatever you'd like. But there's three instances where Nicodemus is mentioned. In this passage, and in John 7, verse 50 and 51, where Nicodemus came around and started, you know, defending Jesus in front of the Sanhedrin when Jesus was arrested. And he had admonished the council that it was the practice that they give someone a fair trial before they convict a man, because they were just looking to get rid of Jesus, to kill him and get him out of the way quickly. But Nicodemus did publicly stand up for him on that occasion. And then in John 19, after the death of Jesus, Nicodemus came along side of Joseph of Arimathea, and he bought spices for the burial of Jesus, as well as Joseph buying the burial tomb. So those two men were helpful in burying Jesus. So those are the three times he's mentioned in Scripture. But you could see his progression from the time he met Jesus, how, what an impact he had on him. I mean, who wouldn't be impacted by sitting down at Jesus' feet and hearing his words of life? Here he is, the God of life in front of you, teaching you, helping you to understand, giving you a hope like no other can do, as we had looked at in the video. I just when I saw this video, to be honest, at the end, I was speechless. You know, I just thought, if that was me looking into his eyes, I would be speechless. I would just be amazed, as it looked like Nicodemus was in the video, just very quiet and listening. And I think that's the effect Christ has on us, right? It's a powerful experience when you come to God, and when God is reaching into your heart and he's teaching you and guiding you and helping you to understand. And that's why we come here, to learn about him. That's why we study our Bibles at home. That's why we pray, because we need to be connected to the life. The only life that we have is in Jesus. He's the only life. It says that he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's everything. So it behooves us to learn of him, as the scripture says. And he says, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. And that rest takes on many forms. That rest takes on many forms in our life. So, the new birth that we have in Jesus is a result of the Holy Spirit. And you'll see the Father, Son, and Spirit working here in this passage, as we have seen in many, many Bible stories that we have presented here at church every Sunday. You know, even in those Old Testament stories, you could see the Father, Son, and Spirit working, because they've been the ones around from eternity. Before creation, you had a relationship. You had a love. You had a bond of peace and joy and happiness like no other. It says God is love, right? God is love. And he wants to share himself with us. He doesn't just want to share love. He wants to share himself, who he is, with us. And we have to accept it. We have to accept it. There are some who reject that love. There are some who turn away from Jesus because life gets difficult and hard. But Jesus is beckoning us and calling us, and he never gives up. He's always there for us. He's there when we're not. And that was the whole purpose of Christ coming to this dead world. But as we get into John, starting in verse 1 of John 3, it says, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. You know, Nicodemus, he saw the signs, but he didn't see the significance. He didn't really understand the significance of what those signs were pointing to. He said, we know that you came from God as a teacher, but Jesus was more than a teacher. Jesus not only came from God, he was God in the flesh as a human being, yet as God. So Nicodemus was confused because at that time, that was blasphemy if someone said they were God in the flesh. There was only one God to them, to the religious leaders at that time. So this would have been something confusing to him. And by his responses as we go along, you can see that he's struggling to understand. And Jesus gives him the simple truth. Very simple. It's not difficult to understand, but it's hard to believe for some. Hard to believe. So Nicodemus replied to him, Jesus replied, truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So he cut right to the chase, it seems. It seemed like it was a statement he made out of context to this conversation, but I just feel Jesus knew what was in his heart and why he was really coming to him, because he had these questions about salvation. He had these thoughts in his head, like, who is this man? Who is he representing here? What are these teachings he's bringing to us? So he says, how can someone be born again? After Jesus told him, you must be born again. He says, can someone enter their mother's womb a second time? And I'm sure, that must have brought a smile to Jesus' face. That sounds a little ridiculous, right? Yeah, when you're old, going back into your mother's womb. I'm sure your mother wouldn't appreciate that. Right, moms? Right? Okay. They probably didn't appreciate it the first time, some of you, when you came out as a little one. But, there's a lot of pain sometimes involved in that process, I'm sure. Well, I've never experienced that, but, I'm sure it happens. So, he asked this question, and Jesus answers, truly I tell you, one cannot enter the kingdom of God unless they are born again with water and the Spirit. There's a cleansing that has to take place first in our lives. And that cleansing is done by Christ. We are like little children to him. He has to come and clean us up. He has to take that water and wash us. And then he has to put forth his Spirit in us. That's why it says that born again process involves a cleansing and a giving of a new life, God life. You have God life in you when you have the Spirit of God. By water and by Spirit. Your life is cleansed. It's made new. It's made whole. You're a new creation now. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. He's just trying to be very simple with Nicodemus. You had your parents, and they had their thing, and you were born, but that was a fleshly birth. That was the beginning of your life. But now you need a new birth by the Spirit. It's not the same. It's not the same, although the flesh is first. Yes, we need to be born in the flesh first, but then there's a spiritual birth. that God sends forth that Spirit in you. And I was thinking about that. And I'm saying, you know, Jesus, when he was born, right? He didn't have a human father in that process. Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's why he was both God and man. So, in a sense, we are conceived by the Holy Spirit to produce the new life in us. We need God. This is showing us how much we need God in our lives. This is showing us God is our life. You know, it says he's the vine and we're the branches. There's no life without him. None. None. You wouldn't be living now. I mean, really, both of these processes involve God. You know, he set it forth in motion. He designed it. You know, human bonding and procreation in the flesh is still designed by God. You know, how hard is it to procreate, really? I mean, he makes it real easy for us, doesn't he? Even enjoyable. It's, you know, let's face it. It's a wondrous thing that, you know, two people can share a loving relationship. And that relationship, what? It grows. And the Andrews can tell you a lot about that because they have a wonderful family and in the bond of love. And, you know, but God wants us to realize through this story that we can't live without him. There is no life without him. And you heard what he told Nicodemus, right? You know, he said, there's a condemnation between those who believe and those who don't. You must believe. You must believe because how can you go through life eternally not believing in the one that actually gave you life and sustains you? Christ will be living in all flesh, it says, that Spirit's being poured out on all flesh. Now, I don't know all the ramifications of that. You know, I don't know if some will be saved and some won't. I don't pretend to know that. That's God's business. He's the one that does the calling, and he's the one that has the plans and the purposes. All I know is that it is not his will that any should perish. It's not his will. So if that's not his will, that tells me he will accomplish what he purposes in his plans. So I'm hopeful for all people. And plus, there are other scriptures that I can think about that talk about his coming and why he came. And we'll get into some of those. But there's this cleansing and regeneration by the Holy Spirit that must take place. You know, it says that we are his workmanship. He's the potter and we're the clay. These things tell us, you know, we don't have much to really do in that process in one sense. That God is the one coming in and fashioning us and molding us and taking us through the experiences of this life and giving us the guidance we need by his Spirit and the teaching and the learning. That's why we're here today, to learn, to look at his words and to glean from them, you know, truth. Because you're not going to find much truth in this world. You know, you hear a lot nowadays about fake news and all kinds of things going on out there. And it's really hard to find truth in this world. It's really hard. There's no source that's reliable. But you have the truth right here, which you can rely on. You can rely on. Because they're the words of God inspired through his apostles and prophets and those who have gone through this life and put their trust in Him and gave their lives to Him totally and completely. In John chapter 1, just moving over a little bit there to verses 12 and 13, talking about, you know, flesh gives birth to flesh and the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. John was explaining earlier in chapter 1, he said, "But to all who did receive Him, He gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of natural descent," meaning biologically, "or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God." Of God. That's the new birth. When God sends forth His Spirit to you, it wasn't the will of your parents that gave you that new birth. Was it that will? And then Jesus says in verse 7, going back to John 3, "You should not be surprised at my saying that you must be born again." You know, I there's so many different ideas about this in the world, even amongst the Christian community, about being born again. And it's just a simple process. It really is, when you just believe these words here. So, you know, Jesus is correcting him. Don't be surprised. You know, don't get all flustered because I told you must be born again and you're not thinking right, that you think you have to go maybe back into your mother's womb to do that. You know, no, don't, you know. And then he brings him a little further on about this idea of the new birth. And he says in verse 8, "The wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." You know, I was thinking about that, and I remember many times, you know, laying out in the summertime on the grass, and you're looking at those trees, and they're swaying, the branches are swaying, and the sun's coming down through the branches, and it's just a beautiful thing, isn't it? And you can never tell which way those branches are going to sway. You know, first they're going that way, then they're going that way, and they're going all over the place. And the Spirit's working like that. We have no clue as to how the Spirit works. You know, this is a mystery to us. You know, we don't get to control how the Spirit works in this world or how it works in any human being in their mind and heart. All we have to do is understand God wants all flesh to have that Spirit. He loves everyone. And he says we're all sinners. We were all in that boat called sin, you know, rowing down to our death. That's where we were headed all our lives until he came into our life and broke into our sinful life.